Please turn your Bibles to Psalms chapter 1. I'll be reading the whole chapter. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish.
Good morning, everybody. Good to see everyone here. I'm always excited when I have a chance to be able to deliver this morning's message. And thank you, Tommy, for reading that. And so this is more of a textual one. So just so you know, I'm going to be in Psalms 1. It's it. That's where we're at. So as I go through some of the points, just know that I'm in Psalms 1 the entire time. And as I go to scriptures, you'll see on the overhead, but you're more than welcome to turn to some of the scriptures, but keep Psalms 1 as home base. And so as I begin here, I want us to consider the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus did in Matthew chapter 5 that you can read about. Whether intentional or not on the part of Jesus, there seems to be a close relationship between this psalm that Tommy had read and that Lord's Sermon on the Mount. As if he preached an expository sermon on that ancient poem. An expository is just expounding upon something. And I think that as he read that, you can kind of see the tie-in there. And in that sermon that Jesus had preached, he pictured this ideal man in the kingdom of God. And so there's some definite lines of thought. His character, his influence, his conduct, and of course, his destiny. So to say the least, Jesus knew about this psalm when that day he boldly addressed those people that heard him. And he understood that if a man fully ignores God or shuts him out of his life, he's on his way to eternal ruin. And so he taught that a life that counts is going to have some strong refusals. There's going to be some things that someone in the kingdom of God is saying, I'm going to refuse to do those things. I'm not going to participate in those things. But at the same token, have some equally great acceptances and some desires of things that they would choose to do. These are the people in the kingdom of God. Psalms 1 has been considered to be an introduction to the whole collection of Psalms as set forth in the Bible. And the theme is very simplistic. It is that the blessedness of the righteous and the utter destruction of the wicked. And verse 1 began, blessed is the man. God alone is the one that can bless. Amen. And his blessings that come from him and you're going to enjoy comes with fellowship that you have in him. But it implies something. It implies that your inner motives, your desires, your thoughts, your affections are for God and acceptable to God. Blessed simply just means happy. Happy is the man. And every man and woman desires to be happy. Who here desires to be miserable? And the great, grand object of human pursuit is happiness, if you really think about it. The problem is this. The problem is so perverted is our hearts at times that we seek to find happiness in a place that does not exist. And so here we see and will see the true way of obtaining happiness and blessings. It's laid down in Psalms 1. But as we begin, let's begin on some things which must be refused. The great aim of every Christian should be that of character building. The kind of character that will be pleasing to God. What's that? But that's what we should be striving for. I've used this scripture often because it's a good scripture to go to. Paul's saying that no matter where I'm at, whether I'm here or there, it doesn't matter where I'm at. Doesn't matter. What matters is, am I doing things pleasing to God? And if we're going to do and please God, there's just certain things that have to happen. As we read in Psalms 1, he begins, happy is this man. Here's this man. This is the happiness that's going to be found. He's not going to walk in the counsel of the wicked or ungodly. He's not going to stand in the path of sinners. And he's certainly not going to sit in the seat of scoffers. These are three characteristics, each exceedingly more sinful than the next. And we'll see how that plays out. The ungodly man walks, the sinner stands, and the scoffer, he sits down in his sins, in his iniquity. So consider this for a moment. The ungodly man, he's not really concerned about religion. He's not zealous for his own salvation or salvation of mine. He counsels and advises those who will listen to him to have them adopt his mindset. He says, don't trouble yourself about praying or doing things of God or repenting or reading the Bible. There's no need for those such things in this life. Live an honest life. Don't fuss about religion and things will work out. You'll have a good enough life. But see, God says this. He says, blessed is the man who walks not in this man's counsel. Blessed is the man who does not come into his measures, nor act according to his plan. That's where this man finds happiness. And then there's the sinner. The sinner has his own particular way of transgressing. The sinner says, I'm just going to do what I'm going to do, and that's just how it's going to be. He's the one that raises his high hand to God and says, God, I don't need you, and I'm just going to do it, and I don't really care. God says, blessed is he who stands not in such a man's way. And then we have the scoffer or scorner. He has brought in reference to himself all religion and moral feeling to come to an end. He has sat down. He is utterly confirmed in his ways. His impiety, he mocks at sin. His conscience is seared, and he is a believer. You know what he believes in? He believes in unbelief. God says, blessed is the man who sits not down in this person's seat. When one begins a life of sin, it's just a downhill run. Things just get worse and worse. And so in this course of life in which we live, we must avoid these things if we're going to have the blessings of Jesus. Here's the outcome of this. Let's walk down this path for a moment. He who walks according to the counsel of the ungodly will soon find himself standing in the path of sinners. He will soon be a partaker in their sins. He who has abandoned himself to transgression will, in all probability, soon become hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. He now sits down with the scoffers, and he endeavors to turn religion into ridicule and mocks at it. And you see, that's pretty harsh, but it becomes that way. Look around to people, even people in the church. Sam, right, your life at one point. My life at one point, and many here. This is the path. Happiness isn't found here. So there's a great lesson to be learned that sin is progressive. One sinful act leads to another. He who acts by bad counsel may soon do evil deeds. He abandons himself to do these things, and at one point he wakes up in total apostasy. Right, James says, this is when the lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. And when it's finished, what? It brings forth death, spiritual death. That's the outcome. We don't want to have that outcome. Solomon, the son of David, adds some profitable advice that came from his father. In Proverbs 4:14 and 15, he says, enter not into the path of the wicked or the ungodly. And go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it. Pass away from it. Sam mentioned in his lesson last week that do not be deceived, that bad company corrupts good morals. And Sam had found himself in a spot where that had happened. And I found myself, and I'm sure you have as well. Well, I won't do what they're doing. I'm strong enough. No, you're not. We are not that strong as we think we are. The outcome's the same. I have been there in my own life. Blessed is the man who avoids the ways and workers of iniquity. Happy is the man who does none of these things. What a great life to not be in these positions. The outcome is always the same. Don't kid yourself. So it's tragic to find a man who's robbed himself of his power of discernment. And we discussed this in the Hebrew study this morning. So for those that were in that study, I hope this resonates a little bit as far as we talk about solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Many have gotten to a point because they're not studied well enough in God's word. They have not refused certain things that going forward, they're not going to make a good choice. If you're not studied in God and mature in God, I promise you one thing, going forward, you will make a bad decision because God says so. And I believe what he says. And I hope you believe the same. But life can't thrive on negations. I'm using all these fancy words today. And that just means the act of denying. It's refusing. He who would hate wickedness or ungodliness must love goodness. So it's not just enough to say, well, I'm not going to do that and this, but there's a desire here. Our holy and loving God has given us instructions which afford us guidance in our holy lives before him. So there are some things that certainly have to be refused, but there are some things that must be accepted. The man who endeavors to please the Lord, as we read in Corinthians, is not the one ruled solely by negatives, or reacts to his successions. Don't do that! No, no, don't do that! Don't do that! Some of us have a walk in Christ, that's all it's about. That's what you think. You're here this morning, I gotta go to church, don't do that, I can't do that. And that's all that you know. So your whole life is negativity. And that's what God says when he says, blessed is the man. Happy is the man who lives in that mindset. He doesn't say that. So here's this person in the kingdom of God. This person delights to read and study the law. I just can't help going back to Brian's, when he was doing our gospel meeting, and just mentioned the excitement one should have in this endeavor to study God's word. Now remember, this is all coming from Psalms, right? If you're following along, we're catching these things. We're going right along with it. So this person has a desire, an affection. Every motive in his heart, every moving principle in his soul are on the side of God and his truth. He takes the law of the Lord from the Bible and he lets it rule his life. And he's excited to have that happen. He wants to read to gain knowledge from the Bible. He meditates on it. He feeds on it. And he understands that all of these things aren't a burdensome thing for him. He doesn't think that way. He doesn't think that this thing that I should be doing or not doing, that they're not burdensome things. God has a way to give us things that will protect us and correct us. Right? Those are the things. And so he looks in the perfect law of liberty that James talks about. He's not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word. And therefore he's blessed in the things that he does. And so this is the person. It's not an occasional study to him. He works day and night. His heart's in it. The employment is frequent. The disposition is perpetual. And I'm just simply meaning that it's ongoing. And I think of the scripture in Timothy because it talks about that. And it says takes pains in these things, absorbed. And if you are, then it's going to be evident in your life. And not just in your life, it's going to be in the life of others, because Christianity is a contagious thing. But the problem is we don't have that kind of contagious sickness because we're not studying, we're not participating, we're not being effective in the kingdom of God. And certainly I'm not going through this lesson saying, well, here's what you need to do better. That'll come with time. If you open God's word, you can find what you can do. There's something that you can do for God. All of us can do something for God. So the question is what is the result of these refusals and things I'm not going to do, and about these acceptances and these delights I have in God? Well, that goes back to Psalms, as Tommy read. It's going to be like a person, like a tree planted by the streams of water. That he's going to be rooted, anchored, and steadfast. He's going to be fed. He's going to be nourished. And he'll have this unending fountain of rich treasures in his life. Many people don't understand that there are rich treasures to be had, but you've never given them an opportunity. You've always been on the outside, just kind of fumbling around. And yet, if you just went a little bit further in, you would see the life that God would have you. They would give you purpose and hope. You know, it was really sad this morning. I woke up to a text from one of my clients. 42 years old, died of cancer. That's it. He can't do anything more than what he's done to this point. I just pray to God that he was a saved man. I don't know. I think of these things, and I just hope for all of us that the picturesque of this beautiful tree, and I'm not sure how it comes across in the PowerPoint, but it is something here that I think that we can understand because it brings forth fruit. Right? You continue in vigorously working for the Lord. You're productive. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciple. John 15:8. So it's a tree planted by streams. It brings forth fruit in the season, whose leaf or foliage doesn't wither. I can't help to think of the Alaska trees. Right? There just gets to a point where it's like, but see, that's the Christian walk sometimes. There's a lot in here right now that have no leaves or foliage or fruit or anything. And inside your heart is bare and ugly. Don't you want this evergreen, blessed life? And perpetuity goes on and on. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Psalms 23:6. And then the psalmist goes on to say in Psalms 1 that this tree, this prospering tree, is going to prosper. I mean, think about Joseph, whether in Potiphar's home or in prison. Did he not prosper at the end of it all? God says, and we know that God causes all things to work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Right? That's the life I want all of us to have. I want for me and my family. But it certainly is a choice. So the lesson was entitled Divine Contrast, because he's contrasting two things. So now he goes in Psalms. If you can look there real quick. It talks about the wicked now. Well, this is what this is. But the wicked, ungodly, not so. And he goes on to talk about it. He's given a full-size portrait of the righteous and the blessings which will follow him. Now the lot of the ungodly. And the ungodly, as already mentioned, he chooses to do his own will. Now you know, I'm not going to go through this scripture. You know this scripture in Matthew. Because it's talking about those that do the will of the Father are going to enter. And those that do their own will are not going to enter. It's real simple. God's will, your will. In the Bible, it tells you how to live. And so it's something that we all should consider. They're the exact opposite of righteous. Instead of being rooted, steadfast, continually nurtured, and fruitful, the wicked, as the psalmist says, are dead and worthless chaff, which the wind drives away. Now, I'm not a farmer, but chaff is the husk of grain and grasses that are separated during the threshing process, and it doesn't have anything other than it blows away. And so you see the comparison here. In Jeremiah 2:13, he says, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, to hew for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." A cistern was a container for holding water. And to hewn one is to cut out a stone. They had these big ones where rainwater would go into it. And at its best, it was still stagnant water. Jeremiah was telling them, the living, bounding, flowing is through Jesus and God.
Amen.
And yet this is us. This is it. This is us, right? This is the thing that holds. We think we're... what's that? It's useless. I regret my earlier days in life not being any benefit to the kingdom of God. And I think now I'm just trying to make up for time and work as hard as I can for him. Some of our young people, you don't have to go through that. It's the same thing. But sometimes we think that we have to find out for ourselves. That's pride coming in. Things that we're missing out on something. I want to do, look at the outcome. Just look. It doesn't take, if you really looked at the outcome of people's lives that choose not God, and you might say, well, they seem wealthy, they got money. Those are the worst ones, because of themselves they think everything's okay. It's not. So the real character of the wicked is revealed in the hour of judgment. The testing time. The dry chaff has no root. It's helpless. The storm comes. And he says, therefore the wicked shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Matthew talks about a foundation. Not going to go into it. It's a familiar scripture. It's about those who act upon the words. Those are the ones that have the strong foundation. But those who don't act upon them don't have a foundation. That's that cistern. That's that pot that had big cracks and where the water makes it useless. So certainly things for myself to consider in my life and for all of us. At the end of the day, going back to Psalms, says that God knows. In verse 6, for the Lord knows, God knows. He knows the way of the righteous. He knows your heart. He knows your intentions. And it's building that foundation. I want to throw a shout out to Joe. Joe did a fine job for our young men's training. Talking about being, in Isaiah, talking about, I sought for a man. Talking about our young men and our old men and myself. To consider where we are as being men in God's kingdom. And being a productive, fruit-bearing man in this world. But God knows, make no mistake about it. Galatians says it here, don't be deceived. God's not mocked. What you're going to sow, you're going to reap. He just know that. Time will come. And I think that scriptures like this bear out that reality. Because it deals with our eternity and where we're going to spend it. The Lord carefully watches every life and rewards and punishes accordingly. I bring up two scriptures that bring this point out. For God will bring every act into judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it's good or evil. It's a scary thought, isn't it? You can hide whatever you want in your life, but God knows about it right this very second. I don't need to know about it. I'm not your judge. For we must all appear at some point before the judgment seat of Christ, so each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. A recompense simply means pages or wages for payment due. So you're compensated how? So this lesson finds itself in the conclusion. This is a recap of Psalms 1. It talked about the blessedness or the happy of the righteous in avoiding every appearance of evil. That's where happiness is found. Every appearance. Galatians talk everything that has an appearance of evil, I'm not going to mess with, because I want a happy life and I'm going to serve my Creator in those terms. Then he went on to talk about the use of the law of the Lord and use the metaphor. For those that use the law of the Lord, those that are excited about it and don't look at a set of negations, right, of just don't do this, don't do that, he looks at it a little bit different. And that is that tree planted in good watered soil. He went on to say the opposite state of the ungodly. The metaphor of the chaff driven away by the wind. Where he can't stand in judgment in that example that he gives. The miserableness of sinners is mentioned. Yet the final happiness of the godly. The way of the righteous in Proverbs says this, but the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full of day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. They just don't really even understand. I began talking about the Sermon on the Mount, where this Psalms really is expounded upon in all those chapters in Matthew and the Sermon on the Mount. The ideal man of the kingdom, is this you in character? Is this you in your influence? Is it you in your conduct? Because if it is, it'll be you and your destiny with God in heaven. So think about these things. I hope this lesson finds its way in our hearts and that we might just make that difference today. In the radio program, I caught the tail end of it, but it mentioned something that kind of stayed with me was the choices of made, things of yesterday over, and the ones tomorrow. It's now's the time. Now's the time to act upon it. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, you can begin that walk today, that delight, that great acceptance that God wants of you and will provide for you. If you're here and you're struggling and you're not where you need to be, if you don't want to come forward, you don't have to, but make it right with God. But we'd certainly love to encourage you to come forward so we can pray on your behalf and for all of us can learn and pay attention to, you know, it takes one person to come forward for all of us to step back and go, you know, I should have went forward last week. So please don't be shy, but if you're subject to invitation, please stand and come forward as we now sing the song that Wayne has selected.